have to expect. Unemployment, homelessness, bank failures, hunger, crime, political instability, and international conflict.
Shifted 3 inches as a consequence of that 8.8 earthquake. The day is no longer 24 hours. It's been shortened by 1 microsecond. That's how
just 1 day.
What's going on here is nothing less than the fruit being born of a diabolic but truly magnificently orchestrated colonization effort of our country and our world.
So we're going to actually see more of this kind of seismic activity, more volcanoes, more swings in the weather. We wiped out with simultaneous blackouts in 100 cities.
Danger zone where we may have already triggered self-fueling processes like the melting of the permafrost.
We're talking about a potential Katrina from outer space.
So we really don't have a lot of time.
Just surviving is the key. Surviving is the key. Surviving is the key. Surviving is the key.
Good afternoon and welcome to Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. Here we're going to do a little trickle-down blues, of course. That's something we're all getting a lot of these days. There's a trickle, but it ain't necessarily a trickle of money.
Everybody's talking about trickle-down, but the money up top ain't spreading around. They give you a nickel, then they take your dime. They call it a trickle, but I call it a crime. Got the trickle-down blues.
Trickle-down blues.
The trickle-down blues.
Trickle-down blues.
Guess I'm lucky my feet got shoes. Got the trickle-down blues.
Trickle-down blues.
There's voodoo out across the land. A whole lot of money in too few hands. Ain't somebody got some kind of plan to lend some help to the working man? Got the trickle-down blues.
Oh yes, those trickle-down blues. We are at the point now where most of the sales of homes are either short sales or foreclosures. A short sale means that the value of the home has been driven down by the forces of the foreclosure market. So we have a foreclosure market. I mean, that is the real estate market right now, is the foreclosure market. That's pretty much what's dominating it. And it's pretty much all there is of a real estate market right now in most of the United States. The statistics are pretty shocking. We're going to get into some of them again. We're going to do a revisit of some of the information that we pulled together during that broadcast on Sunday, including some of the draft of the Petaluma City Council's resolution, which they are indicating that they're going to be taking action on this to make Petaluma a foreclosure-free zone. Now, that's something pretty amazing. So we're going to first hear an update based on President Obama's State of the Union address of last week. This is a piece of news out of Free Speech Radio, and it talks about Kamala Harris, who is the Attorney General for California. Kamala Harris ran for Attorney General at the same time that Jerry Brown ran for governor in 2008, the same time that Barack Obama ran for president in 2008, and she was elected. And it was a tough one. It was a tough fight. It was a narrow victory, but it was a victory. And she came in on a promise that she was going to be really fighting on behalf of the environment, that she would be there to protect our environment, and that she would also be there to go to bat for the consumer on issues like financial things and like foreclosure and things that banks are up to. So here's one place where that's starting to show up, because she's going against the grain with some of the parent plans at the Washington federal level to start negotiating with the large, big investment houses, you know, like Goldman Sachs, for instance, to, first of all, give them immunity from fraud, and also to come up with a plan to go ahead and foreclose everything that's in the pipeline, which, by the way, is about 20% of all housing loans right now are in trouble or in the pipeline for foreclosure, and give those properties to the same hedge funds that got us in this mess to begin with. Kamala Harris is find something pretty fishy about that. So this is what this little piece from Free Speech Radio News says.
In his State of the Union address, President Obama announced a new investigation into the financial sector's responsibility for the housing crisis. The effort would bring together state attorneys general and federal prosecutors and would seek to determine what entities are guilty of misleading and abusive practices and how the millions of victims should be compensated. Meanwhile, a national settlement between states hit by the foreclosure crisis, the federal government, and the banks responsible may be falling apart. FSRN's Alice Olstein has the details in Washington, D.C.
Groups have been pushing for years for the government to hold Wall Street responsible for the actions that caused the housing bubble to burst in 2008. In Tuesday night's State of the Union address, President Obama announced what may be a first step towards that goal.
Tonight I'm asking my Attorney General to create a special unit of federal prosecutors and leading state attorney general to expand our investigations into the abuse of lending and packaging of risky mortgages that led to the housing crisis. This new unit will hold accountable those who broke the law, speed assistance to homeowners, and help turn the page on an era of recklessness that hurts so many Americans.
New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, who has launched his own aggressive investigations into the foreclosures in his state, has been tapped to lead this new team. But there is still a settlement deal in the works between state attorneys general and five major financial institutions: Bank of America, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Ally Financial. Though the details have not yet been released, Housing and Urban Development Secretary Sean Donovan told the U.S. Council of Mayors last week that the deal would give about 1 million homeowners reductions in their mortgages of up to $20,000 each. Additionally, it would work to end the practice of robo-signing, where mortgage company officials sign foreclosure documents without properly reviewing them. Progressive groups opposed to the settlement call it a sweetheart deal, which would insufficiently compensate victims of foreclosure and give the banks immunity from future prosecution. When Obama administration officials met with state attorneys general in Chicago on Monday to finalize the details of the settlement, protesters greeted them with chants and songs. Tracy Vanslyke is the co-director of The New Bottom Line, a national coalition focusing on financial fraud and abuse, and one of the main organizers of Monday's protest.
There was an amazing groundswell of grassroots groups partnering with powerful online organizations. And that combination of that power definitely scared the White House and stalled the sweetheart deal.
The future of the settlement is uncertain, as some states have started to come out against it and are withdrawing from the negotiations. Those opposed include New York's Schneiderman, Delaware's Beau Biden, the oldest son of Vice President Joe Biden, and the attorneys general of Nevada, Massachusetts, and Kentucky. And on Wednesday, California Attorney General Kamala Harris joined that list. California resident Richard Esko, with the Campaign for America's Future, explained why he supports Harris's decision.
The settlement deal was inadequate. It failed to call for investigations of potential criminal wrongdoing and that might have been done to homeowners around the country. It was a settlement that would have stopped investigations so that not only would crime potentially not be punished, but the American people would never even fully understand what had been done to them by the banks.
The states that don't participate in the settlement negotiations risk losing mortgage relief packages for their residents, should a deal ever go through. But Esko says it would be worth it.
Yes, these states could potentially lose out if there were a deal and they didn't participate, but homeowners there would be losing out on tiny amounts of money, and in return, the attorney general of their state has the right to really go after these banks and potentially win much, much more, and if there's been crime, actually put somebody on trial for criminal behavior. So all in all, the idea of giving up a pittance for a handful of people versus actually going after what really happened and getting a fair settlement on a state-by-state basis, that's a good bargain.
Besides participating in the new federal effort announced by the president, several states are launching their own independent investigations. In May, California's attorney general launched the Mortgage Fraud Strike Force and called on other states to do the same.
There continues to be a need for accountability for those who prey on and trample the rights of consumers and investors. And as California's real estate boom set a trend for the rest of the nation, so too will our policing of its dark side.
According to a recent report from the Center for Responsible Lending, 2.7 million families across the country have already lost their homes, and another 3.6 million are at serious immediate risk of foreclosure. The organization's Kathleen Day says the worst is far from over.
This crisis is so big and so deep that it's very hard for lots of people to get their arms around, and people don't seem to understand that we're not halfway through this.
Witnessing the suffering caused by foreclosure in her hometown of Chicago, Tracy Van Slyke says she was ecstatic by the president's announcement of an investigation, but urges activists to keep the pressure on.
We need to make sure this investigation has real teeth, that the administration's full resources are behind it, and that everyone keeps in mind that it's the homeowners who come first. It's not the banks, it's not the investors, it's justice for the homeowners, especially in communities of color.
The Center for Responsible Lending found that approximately a quarter of all Latino and African American borrowers have lost their homes to foreclosure or are at serious risk, compared to just 12% of white borrowers. Van Slyke says the coalition of groups mobilizing against the settlement and for a full investigation won't rest until they see those responsible for the housing crisis behind bars.
I don't know how many people have been arrested during the Occupy Wall Street movement, and not one banker has gone to jail for basically crashing the economy and unfairly foreclosing on millions of people. So it's about time.
After losing the participation of key states and meeting widespread grassroots opposition, the settlement deal could fall apart entirely. Speaking to CNBC on Thursday morning, the CEO of JPMorgan Chase admitted the plan may be derailed. Alice Olstein, FSRN, Washington.
Well, it sort of brings to mind a rather colorful figure from the classic oldies rock, and I'm about to share that with you. And here it comes.
I plopped down in my easy chair and turned on channel 2. A bad gunslinger called Salty Sam was a dancing post we flew. She trapped her in the old sawmill and said with an evil laugh,
"If you don't give me the deed to your ranch, I'll saw you all in half."
And then he grabbed her.
And then
he tied her up.
And then
he turned on the buzzsaw.
And then,
and then,
and then a long game dog. Talking dog. Slow walking dog.
Slow talking dog.
A long game.
Yes. Well, you know, it may be a little bit melodramatic, that story of Along Came Jones and Sweet Sue getting tied up to the railroad tracks. But, you know, if from what I've heard of people saying who have actually been through foreclosure and who have come to find out that most of the foreclosures are actually illegal and are fraudulent, and that the company who is making the foreclosure, actually servicing it, doesn't have the right to do it. And when people find that out, it starts to look like Salty Sam or whoever he is, the bad guy in this little melodrama that we heard from the coasters. It can be as dramatic as that. And when someone comes along like an attorney general who promises and evidently is following through on the promise, both the promise and the threat to follow up on this and investigate what is actually happening with these foreclosures and how they come about and what it's doing to our economy, it starts to actually take the form of a melodrama. This is a menace. This is a foreclosure menace. I mean, you could imagine a shark, like a flood has come to your neighborhood and there's a shark in that water. And that shark is busy picking off one by one the homes in the neighborhood and causing them to be abandoned and causing the value of your home to go down, causing the value of all the homes in your community to go down, causing the tax value of all the homes to go down, causing schools in your community to close, causing the fire department to close. Are you following it so far? Tiffany Renee, you'll hear in her presentation, she calls it a death spiral. A death spiral. So a death spiral means that things start to go down, like kind of like the dirty water in a drain, except that the dirty water in this drain was started at the Wall Street level when these loans got packaged and when some of the larger firms, such as Goldman Sachs, started putting out a demand a market demand, a market call for subprime loans, actually just more of any kind of loans, but subprimes would do, to the companies that were providing financing and loans for homes. They put that call out there, and when they weren't able to get enough to service their investors, the packagers of these loan bundles, they started their own loan companies that were wholly owned subsidiaries, and they packaged these loans, good and bad, whether the collateral was really reliable, whether they had jobs or not. There was a fever. It was like gold fever, and it was a gold fever. There was a huge bubble going on. And so Goldman Sachs and some of these other large companies just fed on that and preyed on that. Once those subprime loans, interest rates started to climb back up. The subprime loans, people who didn't really have the means to get a really standard loan, were given these subprime loans with very low interest rates to start, but that they'd be adjustable with the rising of interest rates. And sure enough, the interest rates started going back up. And when that started happening, defaults started happening. And these defaulted properties, these troubled mortgages, were part of every package that everyone on Wall Street had purchased worldwide. Hundreds of trillions of dollars worth of packaged loans of United States real estate, infecting the money supply of the world. So it not only went out, and that's why Greece went down. That's why entire countries have been going down. Presidents have been stepping down because of this. And now, in our own communities, what we see is the death spiral of our property values, because foreclosures and depressed sales are now competing and are now counting for the vast majority of all homes sold in just about every community. It's a disease. So we're going to hear a little bit from C.J. Holmes just about some of the severity of this and a little bit of her opinions on the subject. Coming right up here.
This is CJ Holmes. I got a little bio on her for you. She has worked in the real estate industry since 1996. She believes that with 8 million homes already foreclosed and another 6 million in the pipeline, that much of this country will not belong to its citizens by the time it's over. CJ is dedicated to uniting property owners to stop foreclosures and short sales of homes. She has an online petition on her website at occupy-our-homes.info, which calls on banks to change two rules that will stop the massive foreclosures and keep owners in their homes. And I know she's going to expand on that. Thanks, CJ.
I'm CJ Holmes. I'm a real estate broker, an independent broker, and I came to the industry as a longtime investor. My husband and I own rental property, and I had a little thought that if a representation of the agent in the transaction actually worked hard and did everything right, that the owner could actually make more money, and I was right. I proved that quite a while ago, and then noticed in 06, I could feel the hump. We were starting to slide, and I started to wonder, was there any way that we could possibly predict how long this would be and how far the prices would slide? And over the next several years, I developed some mathematical formulas and ways of analyzing the market that can tell me exactly what's going down and how far. And the fact of the matter is, no matter what the press Democrat says, no matter what you read in the magazine articles, this country is headed for even more disaster. Up till now, we've lost, this county, since 06, has lost 50% of its median value. Median capped it, well, 1 month was 620, but that year was 595, and now we're at 327. The bottom line is, this is a massive problem. It benefits very few, but it does benefit them, and it's punishing everybody else. The opposition, the people that have the vested interest in this collapse, are difficult to fight because they are well-moneyed, well-heeled. They set this up a long time ago, but what they don't have is us. We are the magic bullet. But just like has been said before, if we don't unite and speak with one voice and hit the right spots, we could lose the country. And I'm not exaggerating, and I'll explain what I mean by that. There's a little story. The lady's furnace went out, and so she hired a repair person, and he came in and looked at the furnace, and he took out his hammer, and he went whack. And it worked. And so he said, well, that's $210. And she goes, you just hit it with a hammer. How can that be $210? And he said, okay, all right, I'll give you an itemized invoice. $10 for a hammer hit, $200 knowing where to hit. We must know where to hit. Maybe we have a solution. Maybe there is a solution. Maybe there isn't. So what I would like to start tonight is to highlight. So you need to just quick get an update of who caused it, the cause of this crisis, what has happened because of it, solutions we must demand, and they're not going to come from the banks. That's why I'm saying we maybe we ought to partner with them. But the point is, I'm going to talk about the opposition, who exactly we are opposing, what we have at stake, and who is against us, and what we can do as a group. There's actions we can do to stop, and then there's actions we must do to go. We must get stuff, but we have to stop stuff. So I wanted to highlight these differences. And then, of course, everybody, what you can do individually. Once we're done, then tonight I will have this up on my website, and I would highly recommend that you bookmark my website, www.occupy-our-homes.info. Who started this mess? And I'm going to race through this because it's on my website. If you spend several hours and read everything I've written, you will be smarter than every economist in this country. They do not understand how it works. And it really, so you'll read things like, well, buyers aren't buying because they're scared of the future. No, no. I'll explain why buyers aren't buying. It's because they can't get a loan. That's why we've got 18 months worth of buyers locked out of our market right now in these 11 counties in the Bay Area. If you brought those, even half of them back, we wouldn't have such price collapse. And the reason I call it phase one is because foreclosures have been in three phases. And the first phase was a long time setup, and we're the marks. The con men set it up. They got legal opinions from people like Eric Holder for MERS and the banks to make these toxic loans and sell them, foist them off onto us. And they paid the loan officers huge amounts to sell them to us. So phase one was not the bank. The banks were regulated. They could not set up these loans. They could not structure these loans this way. And if you go to my site, when I'll say, who started the mess, I have attached 11 or 12 flyers. These are flyers that the bank lender wholesale people went into the loan offices and passed out so that you could get their predatory program. And you can read what those were like.
Okay, so what CJ Holmes is saying is that she's describing the process leading up to all these foreclosures and the economic crash, too, by the way. It came in three phases. And the first phase was what I had just described, which was this turning all of these loans into assets that get traded on Wall Street. There's never been such a feeding frenzy of mortgage loans on Wall Street before. This was a first. And the setup was, first was to actually turn them into saleable assets on Wall Street. So that was the first phase of that. Now, what she's also describing is that there is a website that is managed by CJ Holmes, and it is called occupy-our-homes.info, so that you can find and actually look at some of the articles. And there are things from a variety of sources, New York Times, there are things from various economic periodicals, magazines, there are video of attorneys advising what to do in the event of a foreclosure starting to approach you as a homeowner. So there's a lot of information in there. It's basically public service information. So that's what she's describing. And she refers to something called MERS. One of the setups was that a company called MERS, it's Mortgage Electronic Recording System. So it's a company that set up a computer software app that Wall Street would use. It throws together and redistributes who all the owners of the various loans are. And basically, it's a mess. It's a mishmash, is how it's been described quite a bit. MERS MERS is what is now being depended upon as the source of information as far as who is holding the paper on these loans that are getting foreclosed. And what it does is it just lines up bogus, fake ownership of paperwork. And the only purpose of it is that only one owner shows up as the owner of the paperwork so that a foreclosure can actually be executed. But there are actually many owners of the paper. It got sold and sold and resold and split up and cut up. So the whole point of the MERS system was to take and cut up the asset and send it out to many, many owners sharing it, and then end up having get funneled back with only one owner so they can be foreclosed. It's a very interesting system. So that's what's part of what she's talking about, too.
They were completely insane, but that's what they were offering. And they were paying so well, and that's all they offered because all the people doing it made so much money. Why should they offer anything else? But the bank could not do that. Some of the banks did set up subsidiaries as mortgage finance companies to escape the rules. I know they did that. But the fact is they did not create it, and they are not really our enemies, at least at that point. Phase two is when these loan packages, they put them together, they sold them out on Wall Street. Why we don't have Moody's, why they're still rating is amazing to me, because they swore that these securities were great, solid gold, and the people that bought them were our pension funds. So our pension funds went out there, loaded up on this stuff, and then when, of course, people started to foreclose, they started to lose the homes because Greenspan chopped up the interest rate a quarter point a month for 17 months in a row. And when the rates went up like that, all these subprime adjustable loans just blew the lid off. These people said, I can't afford this. All the NAGAM and all-day loans hit the wall. People, we call it exploded. Their payments were $1,500. Now they were $4,200. I've had people come into my office crying, I can't pay $4,200 a month, and I'm having a heart murmur that they're going to be paying $4,200 a month for some home here in Santa Rosa. You've got to be kidding me. And this isn't Fountain Grove, you know. This is Southwest Santa Rosa. And so the point is they started to fail, and so then the bankers said, I got an idea, let's short them. So phase two, they shorted those and pulled millions of dollars out of the market while everyone else lost value. In this area, you'll notice we're in double trouble. And a double trouble area is a place where not only are home prices falling, but employment is falling. It is not the case throughout the country. But you will notice that the main partners for our Occupy efforts are going to be the other areas that are in double trouble. This is a quick summary of the numbers. It's on my website. I highlighted these six counties that are up here in the North Bay. And you'll notice what I've done. This is just since 08, not since 06 from then. I mean, 08, we'd already fallen about a lot.
So we're going to return to that in a moment and take a short music break. And we will be also listening to some commentary from Tiffany Renee. Petaluma is really moving on this. Petaluma is really out to make foreclosure an issue that gets addressed in their community because they see what it's doing to their community. So they're out to make a difference with it. And they're also saying that that's what every community needs to be doing, what Petaluma is doing. So we're going to discuss a little about that. We're going to hear about it from Tiffany Renee. Estimated 29% of all homes with mortgages are underwater. A total of 14 million homes will be foreclosed on from 2007 to the end of the crisis, one in every four mortgages. With foreclosures increasing, a growing imbalance of supply and demand is driving down home prices and driving up rents. Home prices may fall another 20% in 2012. Middle-class wealth is declining partly due to the foreclosure crisis. More than $7 trillion in home equity in the U.S. has been lost since 2006. Middle-income households have been hit hard because home equity is a large share of their wealth. These households have seen their home equity decline by an estimated 66%. 5 foreclosures in the U.S. is in California.
Wait a minute, something's wrong here. The P won't unlock the door.
Yeah, something's definitely wrong here. That key will not unlock that door, especially once they've taken it away. 1 in 5 U.S. foreclosures is in California from 2008 to 2012, folks. Here's the hard news. Nearly 2 million homeowners in California have lost their homes to foreclosure, with a home value loss of over $630 billion. Local governments have lost more than $17 billion in tax revenues due to the housing crisis. The top 4 banks foreclosing on California homeowners, well, I'm not going to list those because there are actually many, many more foreign owners of American property. And that's one of the other crises that we face, is that when these homes are foreclosed, they're being foreclosed by foreign interests. In Sonoma County, from 2008 to 2012, there have been over 20,000 foreclosures with a home value loss of over $8.4 billion. Local governments have lost more than $200 million in tax revenues due to the housing crisis. And so this is some information that the Petaluma, people in Petaluma, people in Occupy Petaluma, and people on the Petaluma City Council have gathered up to support their draft proposal.
Way back among the hills.
Yes. So maybe there is something to do besides just go back over yonder and get the blues. Here's a Petaluma City Council resolution that be it resolved by City Council of the City of Petaluma. By adoption of this resolution, the City of Petaluma recognizes and supports a call to action from Occupy Petaluma to our entire community to participate in the foreclosure prevention zone in Petaluma and to work together as a community to keep residents facing foreclosure in their homes. The city will request that lending institutions operating in Sonoma County attend a meeting in February to discuss specific methods for preventing foreclosures. A special effort will be made to include representatives of banks that are making the greatest number of foreclosures in California. And just for the record, they are including Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of New York, GMAC, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo. The city will review its banking and investment practices to ensure that public funds are invested in responsible financial institutions that support our community. The council may also consider future legislation to promote responsible banking and provide an incentive for banking institutions to invest more in our city, particularly with regard to stabilizing the housing market. This review should include evaluating city policies on responsible depositing and management of city funds. So what they're going to do is they're going to put the power of the city behind it. If you banks want to do business with us and you want our business, you better do something about in this community about foreclosures, and we mean now. So that's going to be voted on in February, and what we're hearing is that it's pretty much a sure thing that they're going to actually do this. So here's something from Tiffany Renee, a member of the Petaluma City Council, about the foreclosure-free zone and a little bit of what Petaluma has been going through with foreclosures.
This is Vice Mayor Tiffany Renee of Petaluma. She currently serves on numerous regional boards as a transit-oriented design advocate. She's working on public policies that promote healthy and sustainable communities. She's the first Latina elected to Petaluma City Council. She's going to talk to us from the political standpoint of what's going on and what we can do to work with our policymakers to implement change. Thank you.
I just made the title Vice Mayor this year after being on City Council for the last 3 years, and hopefully after this talk they'll let me keep my title. So why am I here? I heard Tim's story a couple months ago, and it hit home for me because when I was a teenager...
She's referring to the story that was told by Tim Nahn, who is a very active with Occupy Petaluma and particularly with the foreclosure issue. He was foreclosed, and the story he told was that he was so ashamed, he was so much in shame over it, that he didn't even tell anyone. He didn't even tell people in his church what he was going through. And this, he said, is how they pick you off one by one. Who they are, well, you can explore that on your own, but here's the rest of Tiffany Renee's exposition on the subject.
I lost my father to a tragic murder, and both my mom and my stepmom eventually lost their homes. So I've gone through the foreclosure process. My mom was in a tragic accident on the San Mateo Bridge, and I went home to feed the dog after she'd been in the hospital. found a foreclosure notice on the door and didn't realize what she had been going through, and came to find out that it was in 1988 and 89. Her home was foreclosed through Beneficial, and Beneficial was a predatory lender who had given her a second mortgage, and it was a mortgage that they knew that she was not going to be able to fulfill. So seeing that this is continuing to happen in our communities is why I'm here, and what I'm focused on very much so in the last year that I have on City Council. One of the things that's been concerning for me is what I'm hearing from the community. This idea of strategic defaults or strategic foreclosures is becoming more and more of a potential in Petaluma. As other homeowners have been foreclosed on, their neighbors have been underwater and are continuing to go deeper and deeper underwater. And the challenge that they're facing is whether to stay and ride it out, or if they've only recently purchased and it doesn't look like they can get out of it, to just walk away. And what happens when people do that is sort of a domino effect, and what I'm calling a death spiral in our communities. And I'm very concerned about this potential happening in Petaluma. So one of the challenges that we have to look at is in this process is whether we are looking at these issues from our own self-interest or whether we're looking at these issues from a community-wide interest. And it's a question I'm going to leave with you today, because I'm not going to say what's best for you, but I am going to say that one of the things that we have been facing in Petaluma, and I know that other communities are facing this as well, is that as people are foreclosed upon or as they leave their homes and those values continue to plummet, it has a widespread effect on the community. And people don't necessarily make those connections yet. They're frustrated by potholes. They are angry that there are potholes. They're angry that the library is closed another day and that its hours are getting cut back. They're angry that that the parks are not being cared for as well. But they're not making the connections necessarily with what's happening with the foreclosure crisis and the need for it to stop. So I want to put that in your mind, that this is a community-wide interest, and if you have friends that don't necessarily see those connections, that you help them make those connections, because they can be a part of this as well. It's not just the people that have been directly affected, and it's not just the neighbors who are seeing their houses and their home values being affected as well. It's really a community-wide interest. Look at that issue of why it matters for all of us, because I think that's where we're going to see a tidal wave of people becoming involved, because it's really about saving our communities, our entire communities. This year alone, Petaluma lost $1.2 million to the decreases in home values. It was just in the last year. The opportunity that we have in Petaluma to really implement this foreclosure prevention zone is coming to our city council. We have a goal-setting session on Saturday, February 4th, and our council has really put a lot of things on the back burner as we've had some really big challenges. One of those big challenges we have hopefully put to rest in the near term, and that's the Dutra asphalt plant in Petaluma. We chose last night to go ahead with an appeal, and one of the arguments that I was making was that so many people who are in and around that asphalt plant location are scared of what it's going to do to their neighborhoods, to their health, and this is part of those issues of that death spiral that can occur in neighborhoods and collapse neighborhoods. So I felt it was absolutely essential to the future of Petaluma that we fight that appeal. So we're faced with some really tough choices and very limited resources, and we're deciding what those priorities are going to be over the next year, what the council is going to look at. And the thing that we need to focus on is foreclosures. So if you have an opportunity to come out and speak to our council about this issue, it will be very important, because if we don't make it a priority this year, it's not going to be addressed. And ultimately, what you see is the connection between government and the process of addressing it at the higher level, and we've got to start at the grassroots level in order to really bring this to a head. So I really appreciate being able to speak to you tonight and hope to see some faces at the Sheraton Hotel. 8:30 a.m. is when public comment starts. Saturday, February 4th. Hope to see you there. Thank you.
By priority a classic rock show, but I've noticed a couple of classic rock pieces of music here in our music breaks. Oh well, maybe it just has to creep in once in a while. Hey, who said it better than Pink Floyd as far as money goes? So here are a couple of websites here to check out if you are interested in doing. These are available to you. There is the Occupy Our Homes that CJ Holmes manages. So that is Occupy, O-C-C-U-P-Y, dash, O-U-R, dash, H-O-M-E-S, dot, info. So that's OccupyOurHomes.info. It's Occupy-Our-Homes.info. There's quite a bit of information there, too, from a variety of sources. And to find our blog for Shift Shapers, go to www.shiftshaper.com. It's singular. That's S-H-I-F-T-S-H-A-P-E-R, without the S, .blogspot.com. That's where you can find blog entries. And the program that was on Sunday, we'll be doing a little bit of work with the audio of that and with the view of uploading it to our podcast, which is www.blogtalkradio.com. There, coming up in the next hour, we will be looking at the environment. We will be looking at some words of some words of comfort. So one of the feedback that we get when we're when we move into the part of the Shift Shapers program that is about the environment and things that we can expect the environment to be bringing us in terms of loss, the diminishment of resources, and the increase of climate change. People say, well, where's the hope? And the hope is with each other. The hope is in our community. So we'll have a couple of people talking about that. So listen very closely in the next hour, I would recommend, so that you may find that in the message. There is a message about that things are coming. So we'll be looking at that over the next hour. Part one interview will be with an economist who blogs under the name of Stoneley, talking about some consequences for our economy coming up. And another is from a therapist. She calls herself a peak oil shrink or a calamity shrink, who has some words for us of comfort as far as getting some spiritual and psychological resilience for the days going forward. So all of that's coming up on Shift Shapers, Pole Reversal Radio.
Calling a person illegal takes away their humanity. We can join our voices to ask media and government to drop the I word now. The I word derails real conversation about immigration and human rights.
Just this week, the president spoke glowingly of
illegals. Illegal aliens are in the country, including many murderers and rapists.
It's racially charged, legally inaccurate, and morally wrong.
Hello, you're illegal!
And as we've seen in the past, hateful language can be deadly.
Illegal functions like a racial epithet. It's a way of legitimizing violence against a particular group of people because of what they are. That's the definition of a hate crime.
But we can stamp out this slur. No human being is illegal. Let's drop the I word. Sign the pledge at droptheiword.com.